Hi, good to see everyone this morning. Amen. Everybody with a smile on their face. Happy to be in the house of the Lord, correct? Amen. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Excuse me. Just filling in here for Brother Marcel. He's out of town today, and then he'll just continue on next Sunday. But we'd like to read from Genesis chapter 5, starting with verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. The scripture reads, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." We can turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. The scripture reads, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Praise the Lord. One more scripture. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're wondering what the subject is going to be on, maybe about Enoch. Well, the Lord placed this on my heart, something from last weekend. By the way, did everybody enjoy the meetings last weekend? Amen. They were very powerful, and the Lord visited us in a mighty way last weekend. And many things were said to make us think, ponder in our hearts about our walk with the Lord, I feel. And something said on the last day, there are many things said on the last day, and it kind of opened things up in a lot of ways about why we're here and what God's trying to do with us and where we're sitting and what we have to do left. And so it never heard it put kind of that way before. And so it was really good because connecting it from the beginning all the way to the end, I felt. And so much that I had wanted to talk to some brothers and just kind of discuss it. Have you ever felt that? You want to discuss what the scriptures are saying, what the message are saying, and we praise the Lord for that because we want to do that because we want to just talk about him all the time. Amen. And so we know there's practical things, there's things that we need to talk about in this world, but it's so refreshing to talk about the word and talk about the Lord. And we trust that we can talk more about those things on a more regular basis as we continue on. But I was talking to a couple brothers and just kind of dicing through the scriptures and the message of the hour, and things become a little bit clearer. And I had the privilege to just sit down with Brother Tim Pruitt and just kind of understand where what he was, a little bit further understanding of what he was talking about. And, you know, it helps to have experienced ministers around. Amen. Preaching since he was 15 years old. So that's a lot of time to really get into the word and really get close to him. And we can benefit from that quite a bit. And so just that understanding. It was just very refreshing. But something spoken, he mentioned something. He said, Enoch, and what does that mean, dedicated? And that just impressed upon my heart. And so as I was getting ready for the Sunday school lesson, then as I was praying, then God pressed upon my heart to bring that and just dig into that a little bit further. Because Enoch is our type, because he was translated, he went into a rapture. And so he was the seventh. We are in the seventh church age. And so we want to see how that type is related to us. And when I heard that definition of what Enoch meant, dedicated, what does dedicated mean? And let's go into the message of the hour in the scriptures and see and flesh that out a little bit more so that we can get a deeper understanding of what God expects of us. So we read through some of the scriptures about Enoch, and we're very familiar with them. And remember, the key words that he was talking about is that Enoch walked with God. And so he was walking with him, talking with him, and he lived a life with him on a regular basis, is what I can pull from the scriptures. So much that he got so close to God that he left this earth. And he pleased God. And so we know that faith is what pleases God. And we'd like to get into a little bit deeper about that, because we know that God says if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And so how is faith related to that? So let me read a few things here and just to kind of set some foundations and then to plant some seeds in our minds. But when you look in Strong's Concordance, so again, it says Enoch, meaning dedicated. He was the son of Jared and father of Methuselah. And the Epistle of Jude is described as the seventh from Adam. And he talks a little bit more about that, conveying the idea of divine completion and rest. So that is where we want to be as Christians, right? In rest. Free from our own works, free from everything that we're trying to do, but completely rest in Christ. So the meaning behind that word was somebody that was completely in rest. And we know that there's different types in the scriptures talking about that rest. We know that the tabernacle, when going into the Shekinah glory, that was a form of rest, because Brother Branham relates that period when you're completely in Christ, you're enclosed in him, shut in with God, then you're at rest because you're ceasing from your own works. Before you're striving in different things, but now you're completely resting in him and enjoying the presence of God. So walk with God 300 years and was not, God took him. The phrase walk with God is elsewhere used only of Noah and is to be explained of a prophetic life spent in immediate converse with the spiritual world. So how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, are in constant converse with the spiritual world? So that's where we want to be. So in the Easter Seal, 1965, Brother Branham makes this statement. There was a man way long ago by the name of Enoch. When a new thing come along, when something come along and said, well, now we have to go back to the old school or this, that, or the other. Enoch walked with God. Whatever God said, do, Enoch never missed one word. He walked with God. So you say that's impossible to, you know, never miss a word. No, it's not. It's not. Brothers and sisters, because with God, all things are possible. We always have to go back to the word. Whenever our ideas and our minds say otherwise, we have to always go back to the word. What does God say? Not what we say, not what we think, but what God says. So it is possible to do this. Now, remember that we are on a journey to get closer to God. And so the more we are closer to God, the more we become him. And if we become one with him, then we become the word. And so then, therefore, we can become all of the word and never miss one part of the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this is the path that God has laid out for us to walk with him, to become one with him, and Enoch laid that example. Now, continuing on further, so he says here, he walked with God. What was he? He was a son of God. He was an eagle that had been called to that day. And when come time, he was so full of that quickening power. Remember, he had walked 500 years or more before God, and not one time had he missed his word. Don't let that stumble you about the 500 years. And if you dig deep into that, God will reveal it to you what he's talking about there, comparing it with Genesis. So he says here, he was an eagle that had been called to that day. And when come time, he was so full of that quickening power. Now, not one time did he misbehave himself. Not one time did he do, but kept the testimony. Everything that God told him to do, he went and done it. No argument about it. He just went and done it. So whenever there's a little bit of argument or why this or anything like that, know where that spirit is from when it comes contrary to the word. And Brother Boaz hit it pretty well on Wednesday. Murmuring, complaining, that's from the devil. It is. Because you see in Israel, the Israelites going through the desert, that was another spirit that was doing that, causing the murmuring, complaining. No matter what anybody else thought, he went and done it. Why? He was full of that quickening power. And when it come time for the old man to die, God just sent down the ladder and he walked up home. 1965, it is the rising of the sun. Let's take another man. There was a man by the name of Enoch. Now, he had walked with every word of God for about 500 years. He had a testimony that I haven't failed, haven't one time failed his word. He got so full of the quickening power when the dynamics hit him on them mechanics, he didn't have to die. He just took up home. Now, I'm going to go into that subject a little bit deeper about the mechanics and the dynamics. Let's take a man here that kept all the word of God back in the Old Testament by the name of Enoch, who was so quickened by the word of God that he had a testimony that he pleased God. There wasn't one thing that God commanded Enoch to do but what he did. I wonder how many Enochs would there be this afternoon that if you know it's in the word of God, how many of you bobbed-haired women could call yourself an Enochist? See, and I know that God condemns that. So remember, it is all, every word that's there, the child of God says amen to that word. There's something inside that agrees with that word and wants to do that. And so, but it takes revelation to be able to, something to quicken and also to obey that word. Because when it becomes a reality, when you see it, not just from a logical standpoint, but when you see it supernaturally, then you start to obey it. And there comes the obeying the commandments. You understand what I'm saying? So the faith pleases God in that you believe him, and then therefore you obey his commandments. And that's what pleases God. So he says here, talking about how many of you man that's lets them women do that could call yourself an Enoch. Oh my, that's just one thing. How about the thousand? And we smother down, say, I belong to this and I belong to that. You may belong to that, but till you come into God's provided place and you can't get in there unless you become a part of that word. And becoming part of it, you become all of it, subject to all of it. You're not just taking part, you become all of it. So not just these scriptures, this part of the message, but every single part, just like in Revelation 10, the whole book was taken in. A little bitter in the belly, sweet to the mouth, but a little bitter. And being, okay, now he says here, now, we find out that Enoch come into God's provided way with his word and walked 500 years and pleased him. And we find out that the mechanics was so perfect in him that when the dynamics got to working in the engine, it just took him off the earth. So now you can see that Enoch was obedient to the word of God. And so therefore we're talking about the mechanics because, you know, there's things in the scriptures in the message of the hour that he asks us to do. It doesn't make sense, but because we believe him, that we obey those things. You know, whether they seem very elementary, whether they seem like they don't make sense about women's dress, hair, how men are to be, how we're supposed to live our lives and what have you, they may not make sense to us, but when we stay within that word, then the dynamics are going to take place. You see, when we look in the scriptures in the book of Genesis, when they stayed behind that word, there was protection. And the power of God Almighty was behind them. Because Adam could say, tree, move there, and you know, wind, stop here. And he had total control of the earth, right? Because the power, He did not have that power in himself, but he had authority and he had the connection with God because he stayed behind that word. And so as long as he stayed behind that word, he had that power behind him. And so Enoch, when he stayed with that word, and he stayed in the mechanics of that word, then the dynamics eventually took over, and then he was thrust out of this earth. And so the same thing happens to you and I as we continue on. That's why we cannot compromise on the word of God. Amen. There might be temptation for convenience sake, or for this reason or that reason to, you know, to appease, or, you know, to make things smooth or whatever, but we've got to stay behind that word. Now, there's an attitude that we take when we're following this word is the Spirit of Christ. You know, we don't have a self-righteous spirit. We don't try to say, you know, look down on people and say that you shouldn't do that and kind of thing. But we stay behind that word, and the love of Christ wants us to reach out and bring others to that because they can't see, right? Just like Jesus, he said, they don't know what they're doing, you know. Just help them, Lord. You know, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. So the dynamics, if we do the mechanics, now getting a little bit in deeper in the mechanics, he says in Church Order 1958, we believe in an apostolic church, teaching apostolic blessing for people of this day. We believe in the full gospel and believe that all the signs and wonders that was spoken of by our Lord Jesus Christ would accompany his church until he returned. Do we all believe that? Amen. Let's not live below our privileges. He says this, we believe in those things and believe that they are to be set in order, that the church has its order, and each church has its doctrine and order and discipline. So now we're talking about some of the foundations of the church. So we know that there are certain things that are foundational to the church and what we believe. You know, whether it's water baptism, whether it's the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost, whether it's signs and wonders, healings and different things like that, those foundational things. But there's a way that God wants us to go about doing that as well. And it's outlined in the scriptures because God is not a God of chaos, but he's a God of order. He has a scriptural order for how these things are to take place. And discipline. And so what does discipline mean? It is abiding by what he has given us. And so, you know, when children get out of the way, then they get disciplined. Bring them back in the way, right? And so God wants us to be disciplined, meaning staying in the way. So going further on, the invisible union of the bride of Christ. Now, please, let me say again to the local assembly, don't feel bad now. I'm speaking to all out across the country, to the what I think, the elect lady. So if there happen to be ministers in here that doesn't agree, well, just hold your peace for a little while. See, notice, just listen. Notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage, just doing anything they want to do, and that's what's happening right now in this world, right? The worldly women, this is what's going on. We see it more and more. Everything is just getting out of control, chaos, right? But it's also affecting the church as a whole. You know, I'm talking about church nominal and the bride of Christ. It's pushing in, right? Just like Sodom, it was pushing, it was pressuring on Lot's family and different things. And so we see those things that are going on. Now he says, women are on the rampage. Watch, the church is doing the same thing. So you see the nominal churches, they are becoming just like the world. And so when you speak of these things about what the Word of God says, they don't want to listen to you, right? And if we're not careful, we could take on that same spirit. And so we've got to stay, and we'll get into this a little bit, separated and clean. But watch then, the spiritual bride, when she begins to have her revival. Now, this is a visible union talked about in 1965, towards the end of his ministry. But watch then, when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God. So revival happens when we're lining up with the Word of God. So as we take a stand and we stand on the word of God, it says this, and we stand by it, then God's obligated to back that word. And so when we talked about how Adam, when he stood behind that word. The power of God was behind him. And so the same thing, if we want revival, we've got to stay with that word. Watch then again, you see. Now he says here, and hear ye him. 1960, but how can the church, the Pentecostal church, and the Methodist and Baptist churches be adopted? Are we all looking for adoption? Yes, we are. And adoption is a maturity. And we know the series that Brother Branham talks about, but we're all, as Christians, looking for to step into maturity as a Christian, not being a child, but as a mature adult in Christ. So he says this, how can the church, the Pentecostal church, and the Methodist and Baptist churches be adopted until they first come to discipline, so obedience to the word of God? We've got to be disciplined first. God could not trust this power with the church. And it makes sense. You understand what I'm saying. So as a parent, if your child is obedient, then you trust your child, right? I mean, if they are always doing what they're supposed to do, doing what you told them to do, then you start to have a level of trust, and then they can operate independently because you know that they're operating off of your guidance and your words, and you never have to distrust that. And so it comes almost to the point where if the child is such that they are so obedient to God's word that they can almost act in the office of the parent. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you can see that, and maybe you've seen it in your homes, in your kids' lives, in older ones, when they begin to fully embrace what the parents are talking about, what they're doing, then it's the younger kids go to the older child like the parent almost. And so you can see the same thing happen with Jesus, because Jesus was God's son, right? Right? And so he was his representative, and he so followed the word of God. He did nothing unless the Father showed him. And so therefore, when they saw Jesus, they saw the Father, and they went to Jesus. And they saw the same thing that was in God through Jesus, and so he was a representation. Another example is like when you look in the book of Genesis, when you saw Joseph, when he was in charge of Egypt, then they went to Joseph. They didn't go to Pharaoh, they went to Joseph, right? And you don't see Pharaoh, he's kind of in the background. He doesn't say anything really after Joseph takes over. They all come to Joseph. And so the same thing, it's that Joseph followed what Pharaoh did in such a way that they just, you know, he became really the king of Egypt, right? So he embraced that. So the same thing happens to us when, you know, as a bride of Christ, we take on the word of God and the spirit of Christ and become so one with them that when they see us, they see Christ. And they come to us as if we were Christ, because they see so much of Christ in us. Do you understand what I'm saying? God could not trust this power with the church. It's hard to tell what you would do. How could a father trust his business with a boy that might simply pollute his whole inheritance? He couldn't do it. You can't do that. I mean, you have children that don't get it yet, and you just can't do it. You have to, what did you do? And constantly watching and things like that. And you have to do that. You can't totally trust. Not yet. 1965, who is this Melchizedek? Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises is given to us. May we nurture them in our hearts, cherish them with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline. So, and then he continues further in 1953, Israel and church. He received the promise before he was circumcised, talking about Abraham. Romans 4 will tell you he received the promise before he was circumcised. Then he was given circumcision as the seal of his obedience of faith. And so now you're seeing that faith is connected with obedience, as we talked about before. When you clearly see it, when you realize something. See, many times we do things out of ignorance. Our children do things out of ignorance. We do things out of ignorance. We just don't know. And so, but when the eye salve comes over and we can clearly see it, like when water baptism, we got a revelation of that, then we wanted to be baptized, right? When we saw certain other things in the scriptures, then we wanted to do those things. It was a revelation. It was something there that brings us to obedience. And so how did we get revelation? It's the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that ourselves. We can't read this Bible enough or pray enough or do it. It's got to be the workings of the Holy Spirit. But there's an atmosphere that has to be set for the Holy Ghost to work. And so when just for example, a birth of a child, there's an atmosphere that has to be set. The birth of a seed coming up, an egg being hatched. There has to be an atmosphere around that egg, an atmosphere around that seed in order for life to come up. And so we know that our young people, they need a birth. They need a spiritual birth. They need to be born again, but they've got to be brought up in an atmosphere where that can take place. You know, whether that's a home, whether that's a spiritual meeting or something like that, when the atmosphere is set, then things are going to happen. And so we've got to get that atmosphere, and then we can really see the revelation of God start to open up. Because, you know, when you came to Christ and you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that was a revelation that I am a sinner and that I need God and that I'm not sitting right. That was a revelation. And when you received that revelation, then you came to God and then you became closer to God. And then you moved in that direction so that you can become more in that atmosphere. You started to read the Word of God. You started to go to church more and different things. And so you're constantly getting closer to God and getting in that atmosphere so that God can open himself more and more to you. So as you got closer to God, then God began to reveal himself more to you. Is that correct? And so that, you know, then you receive the Holy Ghost, more of God in you. And then that Holy Ghost reveals even more of the things to you. And so your life becomes more powerful in God. If you can see the prophet's life, he did have a gift, right? Before he got the Holy Ghost, and it was there, but watch when he, after he got the Holy Ghost, and as God began to progress his life, how powerful that gift became, right? And how God used it in such a powerful, mighty way. And so we've got to allow the Holy Ghost, that when we receive the Holy Ghost, then we receive more of the revelation of God. Because we've got to be able to see the entire picture of Christ. Because when we see the entire picture of Christ, then the whole thing's, you know, I guess the game's over and then we are becoming one with him. Do you understand? But see, we're seeing sometimes darkly through a glass, but when the seals were open, as a brother was saying on Sunday, then everything was open to us. So all those things have been released and open to us. Now it's for us to take that book, eat that book, and then become that book. Do you understand? So it was not just to admire the book that was open. It was just not to admire the man that had the book and opened the seals. It was not just to admire what had been done on Sunset Mountain, but to take what was revealed and given to us through that book and to eat it. And so that's why it's so incumbent upon us, brothers and sisters, to get into that word. Get into the message of the hour. Get into the scriptures. For in those things are life. And in that is rapturing faith. Amen. And so, you know, when we were, I think it was a Wednesday ago or something like that, and, you know, just asked for a raising of hands about how many people had read, I think it was church age books, seals, or conduct order and doctrine, those types of books. And, you know, it was less than half. So, you know, When we've got this revelation given to us and the commandments been given to us of what it has, and we have an age like no other age, right? No other age was all the seals open to us like they are right now and the privileges that we have, and to not take advantage of it, there's something wrong, you know? And so there's a lack of something there. And God's got to open our eyes and give us the revelation so that we can see the need of the hour and get into those things. And when we talk about the dedication, and we're going to get into that a little bit, because a Christian is dedicated wholly to the Word of God. And so there's things in this world that hold on to us, right? And if we're not careful, they slowly slip onto us and start to take the power of God away from us, if we allow it. Do you understand? Influences in this world, you know, and the devil is trying to influence not only our children, although he's going very powerfully against them, but also every one of us through through all the different ways that are out there in this world. I mean, we make contact with the rest of the world in so many different ways, whether it's work, school, and then we have all these media that's attacking us, like, you know, visually, audibly, everything. It's all around us, right? And we have to really escape from that. We have to have a haven of rest. And so, you know, one of the things that we can do is make our house that way, you know. And, you know, we can't control the rest of the world, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And so we can make our houses sanctuaries so that the freedom of the Spirit of God can move there. And then, you know, when we have to go out in the world sometimes, but we come back to that place and there's peace. There's harmony and there's protection and different things. And so the devil's trying to invade the space, though, in so many different ways. You know, our children are exposed to many different things, whether they're at school or on the playground or what have you. The devil works through individuals, right? Where they have this thing that can influence somebody, where they have this book, where they have a conversation, where they're just using foul language, whatever, there's influences in that way. And then they're coming into the house, right? And then so, you know, children can say, oh, Dad, can we just do this, right? Have you ever heard that before? Or everybody else is doing that. Why can't we? You understand what I'm saying? And so that's a very delicate situation because as parents, we want to make our kids happy. But at the same time, we've got to hold to this word. Amen. And we've got to always remember that holding to this word gives us protection. And so our kids may not understand that. And we've got to help them understand, you know. We've got to make it somewhat we've got to have compassion on them. And we've got to be in their shoes and try to help that along, but we've got to still hold the standard. We don't have to say, just because I said do it, we're not doing it. We don't have to be that way, but we still have to be firm but kind. You know, as Brother Branham talks about the deacons, gentleness, friendliness, but they're firm, right? Because deacons are the policemen of the church. So he says here, faith led Moses to the path of obedience. Notice, Moses, there is young Pharaoh, there is young Moses, both of them with the opportunity. Moses seen the reproach of the people and counted greater treasures than all Egypt had. And he led by faith, he followed what his faith said in the word, and it led him to the path of obedience. So there it is again, reinforcing that the faith, the revelation, gives us the path to obedience. And so, you know, when Brother Branham makes a statement about the token, that full obedience to the whole word of God will entitle you to the token, you understand what he's saying there, because just like we talked about, when we stay behind that word, we have access to that token. We are entitled to that because we're staying behind the word of God. So now consecration and dedication, because so we see Enoch's life, how it was. It was consecrated and dedicated to God. And so God is looking for us to have obedience to his word and stay consecrated in that manner and stay behind it. So when Enoch was represented as dedicated, those two words, dedicated and consecrated, they have very similar meanings. We'll go into that here a little bit. Are you all okay? It's a little bit of teaching, but I trust it will ground us in the understanding of the word. And so these things, remember, you need the mechanics, and then what? So you follow the mechanics, and then the dynamics come in, and they take you off there. Okay, so in Deuteronomy chapter 20, it talks about the word dedicated, and so the meaning behind this, you know, it talks about train, dedicate, inaugurate. Now, further on, just keep these words in mind. So and I'm trying to bring the Greek and the Hebrew words together so that we can get the double understanding of the meaning. So Hebrews in chapter 9 is talking about the word dedicated, and it says consecrated. And we'll get into the definition of consecrated. Consecrated and to renew. So, you know, just the definition dedicate means like it's set aside to do this, right? Consecrate has a similar meaning, set aside to do something. Sanctified, set apart. But what was interesting is when you look at this definition, consecrate, it has another part of the definition that says to renew. So when you, remember we talked about when you stay in line with the Word of God, as it was talking about, invisible union of the bride of Christ, as a bride begins to line up with that Word, a revival takes place. So you want to see true revival in a church is everybody getting in line with that Word of God, everybody getting in place with the Word of God. And when everybody's taking their position, you see revival come. Amen. Everybody in their personal life is doing what the Word of God is saying and following it to the best of their ability, leaning on Christ. You see that happening and the renewal. So remember, there's times when there's a period of consecration for renewal. And if you remember the message, the Holy Ghost, that Brother Branham preached in 1959, there was a whole week that he preached that sermon. Do you remember? And so taking the time of, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all throughout the week, dedicating that to fasting and praying, and then teaching on the Holy Ghost, because something put it on his heart that they needed to do that, and so many people, so they could understand it, and then therefore receive the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, that's a lot of sacrifice, is it not, right? But God many times asks us to sacrifice to receive something good. If everything is just handed to you, then there's no blessing in that, right? But when you actually, you know, you're doing something and you're giving up something, you're laying it aside for God's purpose, I believe God's pleased with that. And then therefore God, you know, will lay a blessing. You know, say for instance, you know, something small like these meetings that we had, you know, it's a little bit of sacrifice to come to the meetings, right? And, depending on where people are at, but, you know, I believe sometimes a true child of God is just so in them that they want to come, you know, no matter what the obstacle is, right? You know, Brother Branham talks about it, you know, you can't hardly wait for those doors to come open, right? If God is in you, right? And so sometimes it's a little bit on the fence. And we know that sometimes people are struggling a little bit, depending on where they are in their spiritual walk, or depending on how prayed up or how their spiritual walk is going at the time. And so we know, we have all been there when, you know, there's the temptation to not go to church and to go to church, right? And so we know in our heart, well, what's the right answer? Because, you know, if we go to church, then God's going to lift us up and strengthen us, right? But sometimes we succumb to the flesh and say, I'm not feeling what you understand what I'm saying, right? And so, but, you know, a true child of God, you know, has it in them that pushes them that way. And then each one of us being at different levels, and, you know, if we're, God is working more strongly with us, we can help them up a little bit. It's consecrated. Apartness. It means holiness, sacredness, separateness. To consecrate, sanctify, prepare, dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate. So there's a few more. I'm not going to go into those because of time. I only have a few more minutes here, but I'm going to read a few things that Brother Branham talks about on this consecration and dedication subject. So in Jehovah Jireh, 1956, he says, "But when they went into the holiest of holies, and those veils dropped behind Aaron once a year, they didn't live in no moonlight, starlight, or seven golden candlesticks under the interlocked wings of the cherubim. The Shekinah glory was in there, and they lived in that light, which never did diminish or go out. They lived by the pot of manna. They could eat any time they wanted to. It never got old. What a life to live." That's the kind of life Abraham was living. A complete, surrendered, sold out, consecrated, dedicated life to the Lord. So we don't want to have a lukewarm life as a Christian. And so if we allow certain things to come into our life, you know, whether it's or through our children or through our own life, you know, influences of the world, then we're taking the power out of God. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, God is holy. God is set aside. sanctify. We've got to keep those things. Remember, Abraham stood outside of Sodom. Complete, surrendered, sold out, consecrated, dedicated to the life of the Lord. And he says here, as if we'd call it sanctification, they thought when they shouted, they really had it. The Methodists and Nazarenes said, boy, that's it, as soon as you shout. But they found out they didn't have it. The Pentecostals, boy, when they spoke with tongues, they really had it. But they found out they didn't. It doesn't lie upon shouting or speaking with tongues. It doesn't necessarily rely on the move of the Spirit as far as these gifts and different things. Those things are all right, but to have him is different. That's attributes of him. That's right. It means a sold out, consecrated, daily, hourly, live in the Shekinah glory with him all the time. That's right. Not as I'm saying the things against shouting or speaking with tongues. That's fine. That's the attributes of the Holy Ghost and so forth. We need all those things, but yet that's not it. That's not it. It's that hidden, consecrated life. Remember those people out in the courts was eating the same kind of manna. So there may be the same people in the congregation. They're eating the same kind of manna. They're seeing the same message of the hour. They're hearing the fivefold ministry preaching. But some are in the outer court. Some are in the inner court. Some are in that consecrated life. And so walking daily with him. Now, so what is that equal to? Is just, you know, how we spend our time. The scripture talks about redeeming the time in Ephesians, right? And so there's many things that are pulling for our time, but we've got to make the most use of our time, the best use of our time, right? And, you know, there's things that waste our time. I don't know if I have to say what they are, but there's things that waste our time, you know. I think in many respects, I mean, of course, it can be balanced, I'm sure, but you know, video games can waste people's time. You know, watching different things, they can waste people's time, you know. Or whatever, you know, you name it, it can waste time, you know. And so we want to make the best use of time. And then, you know, time is I guess we can look at how a Christian where their priorities lie when we look at their calendar. We can look at where a Christian's priorities lie when we look at their checkbook, right? So, you know, we've got to look at ourselves. Brother Marcel was talking about prayer, how it's an introspection, right? And so we're seeing where we are short in our lives. And looking and saying, Lord, you know, am I right where I'm at kind of thing? And if, you know, let me look at how I'm spending my time. Let me look how I'm spending my resources. Is it pleasing to you? Is this what I would be okay for, you know, to be shown in the light kind of thing? If not, then, you know, we all need this, right? We all need to walk closer to him and more consecrated to him. And so I believe that God is calling us out to do that. You know, there's a reason why the things that were preached last Sunday or through the weekend. Because the time is getting short. And I'm about to close here. You know, when Billy Graham passed away, you know, then, you know, the Lord was putting on my heart to look in because I thought I heard when all the messengers had left. And so if you look in the spoken word as original seed, it talks about how, you know, when the messengers are gone, the rain will fall. Now, when the rain falls, do you know what I'm talking about there? So remember, there was a former rain, which was Brother Branham's teaching. And then after that, you know, plants are going to come up, right? Some denominational plants, some by the word. And so that rain is the harvest rain. That rain is going to fall. And the chaff and all that stuff is going to be garnered. It's going to be harvested and put into the fire. And then the wheat's going to be garnered and put into where Christ is for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But that is he said, after those messengers are gone, they're all gone now, then the rain will fall. So that's what's coming next, brothers and sisters. So are we ready? Are we prepared? And so just put on my heart to talk about this. Let's all stand if we would. Dear Lord, we thank you, O Father, for thy word. And Lord, the Laodicean spirit wants us to get complacent and wants us to be comfortable, O Lord, but that's not the spirit of God. And so, Lord Jesus, I believe you want us to wake up, O Father, and have our eyes wide open and be sober to what is going on and be ready, you know, as the scripture says. Be watching and waiting, O Lord, you know, myself included, O Father, because I can sense the Spirit pushing on all of us, pushing on our homes and different things, O Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to continually to keep that in the forefront of our hearts and minds, O Father, to be like Enoch, for us to remember that he's our type and to follow after that type, O Father. Lord, we thank you for all things. Bless the service, the song service, the preaching of the word, O Father, to continue to help us to grow, Father, into the maturity of Christ. We ask all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.